Number 255, our evening service. We welcome those who turn in over the internet, and we praise the Lord that you want to worship this evening with us and study the wonderful magic of the book of Revelation. 255 is our official song for the evening, and of course, we've been doing this for a long, long time. 255, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Factors why we're going to be in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we just sing praising my Savior all the day long. And Lord, we confess to you that it is easy to sin than to live, because circumstances and people and things that happen to us stop us from praising you in the way we should. And we pray that tonight, as we praise you and as we meditate in your word, we pray again that Christ Jesus be seen in our heart, and that the hope of eternal life will give us encouragement for life. Bless us. Bless those who are listening over the internet. And may them also be blessed as we look into the wisdom of thy word. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. All right. We love to have songs from you. And I can see one from my friend Bill. Benny. I know it started with B, all right? 280, Benny. 380, all right, Benny. No mistake, 380, all right? Rise up, O men of God. That's what you want? Oh, wow, that's good, that's good. 380.
Rise up, O men of God.
let's take something from here and then I come back here, all right? Oh, okay. From this section of the cathedral, tell me, all right? Yes, Tricia. 381. Yeah, is you're all on the altar. Of, oh, that's beautiful. The melody and keep that song, okay? All right. In my heart, there rings a melody.
Thank you.
Service One and Pacific Rub.
We're good. We have about 27 people. Best preaching.
Oh, right. I knew. Guess who preached? All right, good. And may God bless you as I leave for South America tomorrow. That God will give you a good heart and wonderful sermon for the congregation. I listen from there because at 3 o'clock we are off from church service over there. So it will be 3 p.m. when you meet here at 11 in South America, and I'll be able to listen to the church. All right. And finally, deacons, our brother Greg turned the paper of his ordination in. So I want to check it on the plane. All right. A big, thick paper, right, with a red pen. Look out. Okay. All right. Yes. I see a hand, my sweetheart over there, Ryan Nevada. That's my sweetheart right here, Tricia. Tell me. Jesus loved me. That's a 479, something like that. And bring all in. Come on, all the pastor's choir right here. All of them all together. Okay? Okay, they're all coming. All right, good. All right, thank you. All right, right here. You're up first. That's it. You're taller than the plant? Yeah, that's good. All right, all in. Hey, come on, there's more. Matthew, where's Matthew? All right. 479 in your hymn books. Oh, wait, is it Matthew? Where is Matthew? All right, Matthew don't want to. Okay, I can see. He's a good soccer player. He hides well. Okay. All right, here we are.
Jesus.
Yes, sir. Tell me.
224.
You know what number is? 224. All right. I know whom I have believed. Now, let me ask you. Do you know who you have believed? What do you think? Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, you do. Okay. All right. Put him in spot. 224. I know.
Said you cannot know if you believe or not. I said, well, there is one guy who died and already knew, and he wrote about it. Well, he wrong, they told me. This is Paul, right? Paul wrote, I know whom I have believed. It's just amazing. Some people blind themselves in theology. I thank God that when I went to seminary, I was 33, and so you can think a little better at 22 or something like that, and assimilate more. Your teachers who don't have bad intentions but can be taken wrongly. Let's sing number 3. This is a great song.
Thank you.
person, Señor Andrew. Do you know how big you were when you were born? I was there, right, a few minutes after, and I saw the little bundle like this, all right? And look at how tall you are now, all right? That's beautiful. Say the number again. 504. 504, all right. If we don't know the song, your daddy will come and sing. Us while we study Revelation, and that's 151, Jesus is coming again. All right, this is a great song, and give us a great preparation of the reason we are here studying the book of Revelation. Jesus is coming again, 151. So surprised all the time to see my wife, whatever you want, she plays on the piano. That is knowing, and that is wonderful. Now, we are on the book of Revelation, and we should pray before tackle the next verse in this book. Father, we're going to look about a marvelous and remarkable book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And the book is just what it says. It's a revelation about Jesus. And, of course, with our finite mind, we know very little about it. But, Father, give us the Spirit of God into our illumination so that we can see the truth of thy word and encourage our life. In Jesus we pray. Amen. As you look to Revelation chapter 8, which is tonight, we started the juicy part of Revelation. I just bring to your attention the book again, because one of the things that I have done in life is to read over and over and over something in order to learn. And the book of Revelation was written by John the Apostle, according to Revelation 1:1. And according to Revelation 1:2, it is a revelation about the Lord in Jesus Christ. And according to Revelation 1:3, it's a disclosure of God's final plan. God said, well, here is the way it's going to be at the end. The plan of his study, put one hand in Revelation, and let's go together to the book of Isaiah in chapter 28. And I know I have said these before, but I want to say it again. Isaiah chapter 28, and let's look at verse 10 so that you get an idea of the plan of a study. The Bible encourages us to study in Isaiah 28 and in verse 10 in this way. For precept must be upon precept, and the word precept is the word concept, and concept upon concept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And so the Bible encourages and tells us that the right way to understand what God said is take the concept of God in one scripture and see how many times it's repeated through the Bible. And as we read it, we enlarge the knowledge of such a portion of the Bible. Now, we are in Revelation 8, but I bring to your mind what we have learned. Revelation 1, the revelation about the glorified Jesus Christ. A revelation about the Lord Jesus and his state of glorification. He's no longer a baby. He's no longer at the mercy of the world. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. And that's a revelation. When you want to get impress yourself, who is your king? Just read Revelation 1 and encourage yourself that your Savior is that kind of power. Revelation 2 and 3, the revelation about the Lord Jesus Christ church. And there is no perfect church. In the Bible, there is one, Philadelphia, but I don't think there is a perfect church who holds all together. Now, what impressed me more is that the Bible tells us that the perfect church, Philadelphia, was perfect because of love. Not because of head knowledge or theology, but because of love. And that's what I want to bring to your attention here, Sunday after Sunday. In Revelation 4, we have a revelation of the heavenly worship as the people worship God. In Revelation 5, we studied the revelation of the investiture of the Lamb. Remember in Daniel chapter 12, God told Daniel, close the book. Daniel almost is asking questions to God here and question here like a trial lawyer to find out exactly what God has in mind. And God said to Daniel, Daniel, it's not for you to know. Close the book. And the angel and John cry in Revelation 4 and 5 because nobody was worthy to open the book, which revealed the secrets of God and the disclosure of his plan. In Revelation 5, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, takes the book into his hand. And so, ladies and gentlemen, there is no more secrets about the end of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ will disclose to us what God has in mind. Revelation 6, the development of God's plan. Revelation 7, the protecting of the sealing of his people, Israel in one side and the church in the other. And remember, God seals them and protect them until the end. And then in Revelation 8, we have the revelation of the final events of history. You can picture yourself, the seven angels of God with a trumpet, just waiting for the order to execute what God has to say. Now, in we have in Revelation 8, 7, the first revelation, and we know that first revelation imply in a marvelous way what God have in mind. And what God has in mind, as you remember, in verse 7, is that God has given a merciful warning to the people of the world. He destroy one-third of every kind of tree and destroy the grass that was green. Now, never in history, you will have somebody, a fire on green grass. I even, to be sure, I call the fire department if it's any record that green grass got in fire. No, green grass protect from the fire. And I said, well, at the end of the world, that's what God's going to do. And so God's going to do miracles, something supernatural. The man should call attention. Man will ignore that and keep on going. Now we go to Revelation chapter 8, verse 8 and verse 9, and see what the second angel will do. I will read the scripture for you from the King James Version. And I look, and behold, I'm a little bit in Revelation 7. So here it is. Revelation 8, verse 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. That's Revelation chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. Now, let's think for a moment. The first approach, remember, there are two questions that I ask a text all the time when I read it. First question is, what does the Bible say? And I learned that from Romans 4:3, when they asked the Apostle Paul how Abraham was saved. The Apostle Paul said, what does the Scripture say? In Galatians 4:30, with the, who are the false prophet? Paul said, what does the Scripture say? Many times people tell you, the Bible says this, and if you look on it, actually doesn't say that. So what does the Bible say here? Well, first of all, the second trumpet sound. Not the first one, the second trumpet. There are seven in line, and the angel or the messenger sound the trumpet. Secondly, something like an entire mountain in fire was thrown into the sea. You like that? You look at that? Something like a whole mountain was thrown into the sea. And was in fire. At that moment, at the moment that the mountain touched the sea, the Bible said, a third of the sea became blood. And you're looking in the Bible, and that's what the Bible says. Now, consequently, verse 9 now, consequently, a third of all the sea creatures die. All right? Now, here it is. God is giving us another sign. And God is saying this, the world's economy now will be affected because transportation, pleasure trips, and so on will be stopped as one third of the whole float of the entire world will be destroyed. Now, is that what the Bible said? That's exactly what the Bible said. That God means that. Well, let's see what does the Bible means. So one question is, what does the Bible say? Now you are clear, you are seeing all of these. And when God said, like a mountain in fire, it's a mountain in fire, thrown into the sea, thrown into the sea. When God said, there is one third of all the ships of the world going to be destroyed, that's what God means. And when God said, one third of life in the sea will be destroyed, and the economy for those who leave out the fishing will be affected, God means that. Now, the question is, what does the Bible means by that? And I give you three clues. Clue number one, the second trumpet sound. You see it? All right, let's look now to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 14, verse 33. And what I want to set first that these reveal to me is that God works in an orderly fashion. 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, in verse 33. God works in an orderly fashion. When the Bible says, and the second angel sound, that means the first one complete his work, now the second. And look at what the Bible says. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God will never write something to confuse you. God will never write something in the Bible to trick you. You know, remember when you take an exam, there are true and false questions, and you read the question and can be one way or the other. I hate those questions in that way because I know I'm going to get it wrong. Because I don't know what the teacher means. I like a question to say, explain this, explain the other. And in the seminary, you know, all years and years ago, I protest for those questions because you're a foreigner. You don't know how the other people think in the other language. And so I said, I will stand before you. You ask me the question you want to do, I tell you. But don't trick me. He said, no, but this is easier. No, it's not easy because I don't know what the teacher means. And so here it is, and the second angel sounds at verse 8, God works in orderly fashion. God will never, he is not confused, and so he's not confused anybody. I tell people, God's not confused. So when he wrote the Bible, he wrote a clear-cut instructions. And here it is. God worked in orderly fashion. When the first angel finished that, and the world will say, oh, the news will go everywhere, and the world will never acknowledge that there is a God, God intervened again and do the second. Now, clue number two, and that's in verse 8. God let man know that he is in control of the sea. All right? Now, this is good. Last week, the British have excelled in their skills on the ocean. They brought a robot all the way to the Arctic in Russia, and they pick up a submarine underground and brought the submarine up. I saw the film, how the submarine cut the wires where the little submarine was trapped and was released into the top. Now, don't tell the British that God is in control of the sea. They still thinking they are the champions. And when I was over there, I just like to chat with people, and I just throw ideas that there is a possibility. I said that the other nations will be more skilled than they are on this. Oh, no. We are number one. And they remind me what they did in a Falkland Island, Argentina, and so on. He said, no, we are number one. All right? And I cannot say anything. Well, God, marine environment is affected. In verse 8 said, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Now, people say, well, what does that mean? Became blood. Means exactly what Exodus means. Remember the second plague? On the second plague, Moses touched the river. And what happened? And all the rivers in Israel became blood. What that mean? Mean became blood. Exactly that. To let Pharaoh know that an impossibility just happened. Something supernatural just happened. So that he surrendered. And this is what God is saying. The marine environment will be affected. Now, verse 9 tells me the marine life will be affected. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. Suddenly, you are in Monterey Bay, and there is a beautiful marine life in Monterey, California, and one-third of that marine life will die in an amazing way, in an amazing way. Now, the business life is affected. People cannot fish anymore. They fish, and it's all dead. What's happening? Oh, the media will got ideas. The media will got, there's an infection, there's a virus in the ocean, and this and the other. And what ocean? And all the oceans of the world. Somebody brought it there, and they're going to create ideas to make the impossibility that this is not a supernatural act, but this is something that they can explain. As long as mankind can explain by himself what happened, he's safe. He's no threat. God is no threat to him. All right? Now, if that is not enough, then the pleasures of life are being affected. How many trips? You took a trip in a boat. I did with my wife once, and some of you did, and take nice things, and you go from here to Mexico and back, or you take it across the Panama Canal, and I've been there, and the Panama Canal is so beautiful. The ship goes down, and up with the train that brings you up and brings you to the other ocean, and a marvelous experience. And you go into the islands, or the Caribbean islands, and so on, and all of these will be affected. One third of that fleet will be gone, and all will be affected. Now, the second angel, then, is present a little farther than the first angel, all right? And the first angel do not touch life at all. But the second angel is touching life. Well, is affecting now people, all right? If in a boat there is 1,800 people, and that boat is one of the third part, will disappear. A boat in Panama, a boat in the Mediterranean, and a boat everywhere. And now God is pressing a little farther. Mankind is not repenting yet, so he's pressing a little farther and affecting his life. Now let me give you the conclusion in Matthew chapter 24. And I go slowly, and so the, you get security, you get the full assurance that these things are no mysteries, but action of God. In Matthew 24, which is a chapter about the end of life, in verse 26 to 30, listen what God is saying. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is Jesus, is in the desert, go not forth. For he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He is not going to wait in the desert and say, oh, I'm coming to see the world. No. Verse 28, for wheresoever the carcasses is, there will be the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, and remember we learned that tribulation is the period from Christ all the way to the end, after that particular tribulation shall the sun be darkened, and the mountain shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now this is farther angels. Angels 4 and 5 will do that. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We will see the Lord, some of people to judgment, some of people to joy, but we will experience that particular event. And so what is the clue of this? The clue is God is going to press farther and farther and farther. Is going to, it's like a child trying to get daddy and mommy upset and get a little farther. Finally, all your privileges are cut off. And so here's what it is. These angels are showing, and we're going to see the details as these trumpets are repeated three times in the book of Revelation and more explanation. And I want to do this. I want to go slowly for what the Bible says, and then we repeat it again so that you have a full picture. And here's what God is saying to all of us. God is coming. Everybody will see. But before he's coming, he is going to be do a warning to the people. You hear in Revelation 7 that there were people saved out of that great tribulation, out of that last moment of life. There were some people that will pay attention, and some churches will remain faithful to the Word of God, and those people will listen to the Word of God and be saved. So God is merciful. First sign almost is tough, is supernatural, but it's not so much touching my life. But this sign is touching my life, it's touching my relatives, it's touching my neighbors, it's touching my city, it's touching the economy of a nation. Imagine they raised $2 the gas, and everybody's protesting, and the country don't know what to do about it. Imagine if all your fleets, one third of your fleets are gone, and no more business, and no more fish on the sea, and so on. And so God is just trying to tell us that he is preparing the world for some event supernatural. The Lord Jesus coming, and as we read in Matthew, every eye will see him, and will see him glorified. No, as an avenger any longer, we see him as a King of Kings and glory. And so, do you think the world will pay attention to it? Do you think that people will repent? Some will repent, I'm very sure, because Revelation 7 said that during the toughest of God's tribulation, people will believe. But the world will ignore this until we got to the seventh angel, who is going to judge in an extreme way the world, and then the Lord is coming. Now, these trumpets are more explained in the next chapters and more explained. And so I want to explain one by one and slowly so that you get a peace of mind that this is not a mystical writing. This is not, oh, the blood means this, and the water means this, and the boats means this. This is it. This is what God said. I'm going to affect the world in such a way that people will have to pay an attention what's going on, but they will never look up and find out what's going on. It's like in a believer, he received trials, and you know what trials does for our life? We have to look up. We pray this morning intensely with my wife for the trial that we have in Argentina with our family. And I go as the older brother to try to see what my younger brother has done and what is his problem and what is his family's problem and so on. Because I'm commanded by the scripture to take care of my family. Otherwise, I'm worse than an infidel. But I tell you, we pray. So God, what do you have? Why all of this? I don't plan this trip. I don't want this trip. I don't want to do this. Why all of this in our hands? And I, of course, I had no answer. I had no answer. But I go. And I want to listen. And I want to see. But I know one thing, that God will give us the victory. Now, the unbelievers will see all these effects. But they will pay no attention to God. They will try to reason why this happened. Now, each time there's something catastrophic happened, then people trying to explain to why this happened in this way, and the physicists trying to explain it in this way. There is no explanation for a mountain coming from heaven, touching the sea, and becoming blood. There is no physicist can explain that that is a reasonable thing that would happen or could happen. But God will do it. My brother and my sister, my conviction is that this second angel is second message actually to the world is I'm in control here and pay attention to me. I'm a God of mercy. I'm a God of love. I'm a God that wants to save you. And I have spent all these years preaching the gospel. Now I'm going to affect your life and see if you look up and look to me. A man will not do it. As we studied this morning, the natural man is against God. But God is merciful. May God bless us as we study. I study slowly. I took the time, maybe if the Lord allow us, this is going to be for 4 or 5 years until Pastor Greg become the pastor of the church in the evening studying Revelation. But I tell you, I just want to chew each verse slowly. You know, the doctor said, you want to lose weight? Eat what you want, but chew slowly. And, I learned, you know, when you're a student, finish in 2 seconds. And my wife served me, and she said, I'm here. I'm going to start you. You finish. So to re-educate my mind, to chew slowly. All right? The same thing when you study. If you just read a book, you don't know what you read. But if you just read each page and you put it down and read it again tomorrow, you get an idea what the book said. Well, the same thing I want to do with the book of Revelation. Slowly take portion, the concept. And the concept today is the second trumpet. And God is saying, I'm going to do something sound like the book of Exodus, the water into blood, but then I'm not going to put dead everybody yet. I'm just going to touch one section so the people pay attention. Why this happened? Is God merciful? Is God merciful? He wants people to pay attention to it. And if you ask God why this happened and you keep reading the scripture, God will show you that he's a mighty God, that he will bring a judgment one day to those who believe not. They will be placed forever in hell. And then those who believe in him will be placed with him in heaven. But people do not pay attention, but God will cause people to pay attention. May God bless us. And God's willing, next month we pick up verse 10 and so on. It's little, looks like easy. And I want to show with this also that the book of Revelation is not hard when you take it as a fact. Whatever God said, said. And whatever God does, does. And there is no mystery in this. Now, there will be a section in chapter 9 and 10 that I maybe cannot explain it to you because it's a big, 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 big mystery. But I tell you, if I cannot explain it, I tell you. But God is in control. God is in control. When we taught here on Wednesday night, the book we teach in the morning, the book of Psalm, Wednesday night, in a just devotional style, the book of Psalm, and Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 twice are the same verse. And the verse says, have hope in God. And I think that will be a great picture for all of us who are under trial. Have hope in God. When Peter walked and he saw the fig tree down to nothing, that Jesus said, if you do not bring fruit, you will die. And Peter said, oh, Lord, what you said happened. Jesus said, have faith in God. Let us not put a trust in ourselves or in any scheme. Let us say, Lord, here it is. But, you know, I'm impressed with the Prime Minister of England. He walked the other day into whatever place was in the castle, and he said, the rules of the game have changed. You speak about terrorism, you get out of the country. And God is saying the rules of the game have changed. I'm going to act one after the other. You don't repent, I act more, and I act more. That's what revelation is. The rules of the game change. Mercy is there, but God is going to act in justice one after the other, until people will be judged or people will be saved. May God bless us. May God give us a good week ahead. Father, thank you for the revelation of your plan. Even though you are a tough God and you're a serious God, you always give us opportunity to repent and to turn the right way. May your grace and may your power cause people to repent and be saved. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. God bless you, and I see you in 2 weeks, God's willing. Thank you. This was warm. It's good.